tweet at TodaySOR.
Whether you are saving up for your dream home or just hoping to start a rainy day fund, managing your money is key. Financial planner Owen McGee is with me in studio with his tried and tested budgeting advice. Owen, good morning. Thank you for coming in. I say budget, but you don't really like that word, do you?
I hate the word budget because it kind of conjures up the idea of, you know, it's a bit like a calorie control diet. So imagine you go on a calorie control diet and all month you starve yourself. And then at the end of the month, you get to look at a lovely Chinese or a steak or whatever it is that you fancy. And yet, guess what you get to do with it, Sean? You get to put it away for later. It's no difference than a budget. With a budget, what happens is you scrimp and scrape throughout the month. At the end of the month, you've got some extra cash because you managed to save it. And what you do? You put it away for later in a savings account.
But that's the whole idea,
no,
isn't it?
No, flip it around completely. Do it the opposite way around. Think about it. Identify the stuff that you really want to do, whether that's retire or more closer to now, holidays in the summertime, and you identify them now and you work out how much they're going to cost. And let's be really simple, you're going on holidays in 6 months and it's going to cost you €600, imagine, right? So you need to put away €100 a month. Now you do that at the very start of the month and you identify all the other stuff and then live your life with whatever's left. It's much easier because you don't feel control. You feel control at the very start of the month, and 85% of people in the UK, so I assume it's the same here, get paid by the month, by the way. So 85% of us are paid by the month, but you identify the stuff at the start of the month, have all that pain once in the month and identify that money there, that money there, that money there, and then live your life
you
knowing everything is
covered. You might end up
with
very little left though to live your life with.
But you know what? If you did end up with very little, you actually had very little last month, you just didn't know it, and that's why you ended up overspending and going into credit cards and stuff.
Now, one of the things, whatever about not liking that B word, you do believe that you should track your spending anyway before you try to make a plan. In other words, you keep an account of what you're spending.
Yeah, so sometimes, and particularly at the moment, having the TV show How to Be Good Money has been received so well, and getting lots of people on the street approaching me, which is a good thing. And I really like that and I encourage that because we're talking about money. We don't talk about money in Ireland, so it's great that people are coming up to you. One of the things people say, look, I've only got you for a second. What's the one thing I could change about my finances to make a big improvement? And it's about being conscious. And what I mean by that is that think about where your money goes. So here's a challenge, right? For the next week, or maybe 2 weeks if you really want to get a good handle on it, every time you spend money, when you walk out of the shop, take out your phone. We all have a phone in our pockets now. Take out your phone and in notes, or if you really want to go old school, take out a pen and paper and write down what you spent on it. So €3.50 sandwich or €2.50 donut or whatever it is. Every time you spend, now at the end of the week, take out your phone and take out a pen and paper. And it's really important it's pen and paper. And you write down where the money went. And then sit back and say, I'm not asking you to change anything for the week, but at the end of the week, look at it and say, if I was planning next week, would I plan to spend my money the way I spent it last week? Are these the things that are really, really important to me? And a lot of people will get very quick change. It's simple, but they're very quick change saying, I didn't want to spend £35 on sandwiches this week because I was unorganised.
Next thing you buy a sliced pan.
Exactly. imagine, just hope it doesn't snow and you won't get a sliced pan. But no, imagine the thing about it is the world is designed, our world now is designed to get us to spend our money. Marketing people are deciding more than you are about how you spend your money.
And how do they get away with that? I mean, what are the mistakes I might make or you might make?
Well, walking into shops, let's face it, when you walk into a shop, they're designed to get you to spend money. Everything from the lighting to the mood music. You go into a shop like a supermarket on a quiet Tuesday morning, it'll be slow, gentle music. Go in on a busy Thursday evening and it'll be fast music to get you to move around faster. Some of our really Irish bread supermarkets, bread is kind of a hint there, used to pump the smell of the bakery into the car park.
Fergal Quinn would never have done that, would he?
When he owned Super Quinn. Yeah, but used to pump some of the clothes shops actually, and they're kind of the American kids clothes shops that would be in Dundrum Shopping Centre. They have bought and patented a particular smell that's only available in their stores. So everything from the light, the lighting, the mood music, the everything, the smells are all designed to get you to spend your money, and you need to be conscious of that. And just don't go into the shops as much.
Yeah, and especially if you're hungry.
It's particularly if you're hungry. Like, think about it. You go shopping and you spend it. And you see, sometimes people say to me, oh, this financial planner guy, he's all about cutting back and cutting. I'm not. I'm about spending consciously on the money. Your money is really hard earned. It's been hard to get your hands on it. You have it now. be conscious of how you spend it. Don't let someone else tell you.
If you do the tracking exercise that you propose, the 2-week thing, right, and you write down everything you spend, are you saying that like decisions will evolve, sort of ways of saving will present themselves to you?
Absolutely, because you will all of a sudden, the following week, I'm not asking you to change, but the following week, that time you just reach for the sandwich because it's in front of you. And I'm using sandwich because, you know, I hate using coffee. Everyone always uses coffee in these examples, but people love coffee. People are less attached to sandwiches. So, but the sandwich, when you go to reach, you kind of go, I spent 35 quid having 10 sandwiches last week because I didn't eat a big enough breakfast.
Are there apps to help?
There are. There's a couple of apps. I think if you really get into it, Excel or any type of spreadsheet is the ideal because you have much more control. There's a particular app, and I will give them a plug. It's called YNAB. You need a budget, okay? People, there is a bit of getting used to it, but people who get over the hump of setting it up really love it because it works so well in terms of once you're, now it does take a while to get into it, but if you can just put the time and effort into it at the start, nice thing about it is say, I can have it on my phone, my wife can have it on her phone, and then you've got it on the laptop at home, and when she spends it, all automatically syncs up on the cloud and it works really, really well. It's a really nice app.
Now, some things can be easier if you sort of tell others about them, like I'm giving up drink for Lent or I'm going on a diet. I mean, should something similar apply here?
Well, put it this way. If you decide I'm going to change my financial future and you're not going to tell anyone about it, you're going to struggle here, okay? Particularly if you don't tell your partner. Like, that's important. The two of you need to do this together. Yes, it's going to be much easier if you've got a group of people doing it together or just people who you're sharing the idea with, particularly friends or partners. Here's another plug. People who have a financial planner have 2.5 times the net worth of people who don't when they retire.
Now, spoken like a true financial planner.
Absolutely.
Go on.
Now, what I would say is I don't think that's because the financial planner is a genius. I think that's because the financial planner, he or she forces you to look at your finances on a regular basis.
But you still don't like that word budget. But that's what all of this is pointing towards.
It's not. It's about change. Sorry, I don't like budget because people say budget and they go away from it. They don't want to touch it.
It's just controlling your spending is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's controlling and spending your money on the things you want to spend it on.
Okay, look, some queries from some of our listeners. I'm a 60-year-old widow working as a public servant on a temporary contract. I have €50,000 on bank deposit, €10,000 in post office savings and €20,000 in savings bonds to mature in 6 years. I own outright my own home and I have no private pension. I am worried about the possibility of being unemployed and having just my contributory pension. Can you advise me?
Yeah, one of the things that this person needs to get advice on is the obvious choice. You're 60 years of age. When you're 60 years of age, you can actually access your pension even if you continue working. So from 50 to 60, you have to have left the job that you're drawing the pension down. I would be saying that if you take that, there's 50 and 20 and a bit more. I think
about
there's
80,000 there, 80,000 but €6,000 of it, there's 20 locked up for 6 years.
So technically, if she managed to convert that money into pension over the next couple of years while she's working, if she loses her job, she'll be able to get it back out again. But she will get €32,000 in tax relief on that pension contribution. So she'll put 80 in, she'll get €32,000 back in tax relief. If she's on the lower rate of tax, you'll get €16,000, half of that back in tax relief. And ignoring growth and everything else, that's the best use of her money, particularly when her fear is she's going to lose her job.
She could turn that money into a pension pot and she would then have her own private pension.
Yes.
But it would be fairly small in terms of what she could expect to get out of it.
It would be fairly small, but the thing about it is it would be a very good use of her, a very tax efficient use of her money. Now, she definitely needs advice here because one of the things you don't want to do is that she puts it all into pension and then the washing machine breaks down, she's put all her savings into pension. She needs to make sure she gets good advice here and she'll only be able to drip a certain amount of it in on a year-to-year basis. But think about it, it's turning €6,000 into €10,000 in one go.
And it's like you get a really high interest rate if you can get your hands on the money once you turn it into a pension. But again, there's restrictions on how you spend it and you can only take out so much at a time.
And that's it, but it still is a good use of her money.
Okay, but get it looked at.
Get advice there.
Another one. I'm thinking of buying a house for my son to live in as he's living in insecure rented accommodation. I intend to charge him a small rent to begin with, then leave it to him in my will. I'm his father and he's an only child, married with 2 children. What are the tax implications?
Okay, I've done tax exams, but we are financial planners. We don't hold out to be tax advisors, but this is kind of generic stuff here. What I would say is, first of all, if you buy a house for your son and you rent it out to them, when you charge less than market rent, the difference between, imagine market rent is 1,000 euros and you decide to charge them 500. That 500 euros a month is actually coming off your child's threshold. That's seen as a gift every single month. So you need to be aware of the tax implications on that. And you also need to be aware of the fact that you're giving a reduced rent and will the tax man see you as actually receiving the full amount and then gifting the other half of it. There are certain legitimate ways that you can say, well, actually, he's in there minding the house and there's a caretaker's agreement or something else going on there. But just to be aware, your child can get 320,000 euros off you during their lifetime as a gift. And once they go over that, there's going to be inheritance tax issues or gift tax issues to be paid on top of that. And that 500 euros a month reduction in rent, if that was the case, that 500 is eating into that 320,000.
That's when you're alive, you can give them 312. Now, what about when you die and you leave an estate? I mean, could you leave, like, is that 312,000 set at naught?
It's the same allowance, living and dead. Okay. So it's the same. So when you pass it over and you're alive, or you wait till you're dead to pass it over, it's the same allowance. And those thresholds kick in beyond that level. So just be careful of that, because you could be opening up a tax net there, I suppose.
Another one. I have a mortgage-free, large three-bed semi in North Dublin. I'm aged 67. I want to downsize but cannot raise bridging finance from the banks as I'm retired and living on a state pension. My house is valued at €425,000. What are my options?
Okay, so this person is really stuck because they're in a house that's too big for them. They want to downsize and they can't because the banks won't deal with them, because they have no regular income other than, say, pension. The problem you have here is that this is actually a social problem here. There's loads of people living in houses too big for them, and there's loads of people looking to move into those houses, but it's caught. There is a solution, and it definitely needs advice. There is a solution being put through the central bank at the moment. One of the providers is going to go back into the market of equity release loans. And what these are is they will give you a lump of cash that and typically goes up to 25% of the value of your home, and that might get you over the hump in terms of buying another home and selling it off and clearing off this equity release loan. They are these type of loans, you don't make repayments on them on a month-to-month basis. The interest compounds up. You have to be careful about what you're getting into.
But it's odd that he can't get some sort of bridging finance unless he hasn't been able to give the bank or a financial institution a proposal. Look, I'm moving to a house an apartment that's going to cost me half what my current house is worth.
He might find that if he goes sale agreed on his house and he's ready to buy another one, he might find a bank a little bit more supportive. But that then comes down to the relationship he's had with the bank over the years.
Owen, thank you very much indeed for coming in. That's Owen McGee, financial advisor there. We'll take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.